DA Matthew Weintraub told reporters today Sean Kratz of Northeast Philadelphia has been taken into custody. Cosmo DiNardo was already behind bars for the killings, admitting that he had participated in the murders. In a plea deal to avoid the death penalty, DiNardo told police officers about Kratz and where to find the bodies of the four men. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty. Because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549. That's 888-827-7549. 888-827-7549.
Another Obama-appointed judge is messing with President Trump's travel restrictions.
U.S. District Court Judge Derek Watson of Hawaii ruled yesterday that people from six Muslim-majority countries can enter the U.S. if they have grandparents, aunts or uncles, nieces or nephews, brothers-in-law or sisters-in-law, or cousins who are legal residents of this country. The U.S. Supreme Court last month ruled the administration could block people from Iran, Syria, Sudan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia unless they have a close relationship to a person or entity in the U.S.
Flags flying at half-staff in Mississippi today in memory of the 16 service members who were killed in the crash of a Marine Corps refueling plane in the Mississippi Delta. Governor Phil Bryan asking churches to remember the fallen troops during their Sunday services and their families. He's promising a permanent memorial near the soybean field where the plane went down. The bodies of those who died in Monday's crash of a KC-130 Hercules aircraft now at the military mortuary in Dover, Delaware. More news online at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
It could be the next wave in racing. So quiet, your neighbors won't even notice. Here's more.
That's because all the one-seater race cars are electric. And even though they'll buzz around a Brooklyn Speedway at 140 miles per hour, they'll do so quietly. The Brooklyn Cruise Terminal in Red Hook has been transformed into a racetrack for Formula E's E-Prix Championship. It'll be a two-race event, one Saturday, one Sunday, with the Statue of Liberty and the Manhattan skyline as scenic backdrops. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
A tragic accident on the set of TV's Walking Dead has left a stuntman dead. Here's the story.
The Coweta County coroner says 33-year-old John Berniker was critically injured Wednesday when he fell nearly 30 feet from a balcony onto concrete while on the set of the popular AMC series. He was rushed to an Atlanta hospital where he was pronounced dead that evening. The coroner says the death was ruled accidental and due to blunt force trauma. Berniker had worked on a number of movie and TV projects, including The Hunger Games, Logan, and The Fate of the Furious. Production on The Walking Dead has been suspended temporarily.
The controversial meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian attorney apparently included more people than originally thought. New reports say a former Russian counterintelligence officer and a translator took part in the discussions, along with Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort. Kushner is President Trump's son-in-law and a top White House advisor. Trump Jr. said he thought the meeting would get dirt on Hillary Clinton, but ended up being nothing but a waste of time. USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps,
buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon on this sunny, bright, oops, I guess I have the wrong Friday, don't I, Bill? Not going to have sunny and bright today, are we?
No, not one bit, Pat. In fact, it's the soggy Friday. But, you know, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's been that kind of a week. I like to think that, by the end of the week, my head hurts. And what we need to do, Pat, is we need to talk about the weather for tomorrow.
Yes, we will talk about the weather. And Bill should be fairly happy for the weekend, which is, of course, today they said there was going to be a 90% chance of showers. Well, I don't know where you were, but it was really such a downpour. There was flooding in areas. It was really bad. So tonight, they say chance of showers. Well, maybe that will be accurate if, in fact, the rain has kind of rained itself out. But tomorrow, and I know you always like the weekend weather, it's going to be, in this area, partly sunny, high about 86 degrees. But if you really want the nice day, wait until Sunday. It will be sunny on Sunday and high of about 86 degrees. And then by Sunday night, partly cloudy, low of about mid-60s, so that should be decent sleeping weather. And then again on Monday, we have a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 a.m., but then it should be mostly sunny, near high of near 85 degrees, and again, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, about a 40% chance on Monday night, and about 50% chance of thunderstorms on Tuesday. So lots of rain recently.
Well, it's good for our plants. It's also good for all our mold and mildew. You know, some people often say about John Manfreda and I, who is not here today, where do you find such man? Well, Pat, it has to be damp and dark. And that's the way today is.
Are you saying that John is not going to be here? We're not expecting him today?
No, John Manfreda is actually on his way into Fenway Park as we speak.
Uh-huh.
He is going to watch the Boston Red Sox host my New York Yankees. And let's see if the Yankees can wake up and have a better second half of the season than they had previously. What's important to me is that the Yankees sweep the Red Sox and get themselves back into first place, because this is turning into an interesting pennant race, even with Tampa beginning to creep up out of last place. Tampa's been playing real well the second quarter of the season. So we've got some interesting baseball stuff going on. And
well, let's talk a little bit more about tonight and what you expect. Who are the pitchers? And
I haven't checked to see who the probable pitchers are tonight yet, but I think we should be talking about the Yankees and the trade they just made. As you know, the Yankees cut first baseman Cliff Carter, who had been there basically to replace a badly injured Greg Bird, who has had some kind of a problem with his ankle, and since the first week of the season has been on the disabled list. Well, Chris Carter didn't work out for them, so they've let him go. He'll make whatever deal he can make with another team because he does swing a good bat. But the Yankees picked up Garrett Cooper from the Brewers. Garrett Cooper's a minor leaguer. Right now he's leading the Pacific Coast League with a .366 batting average. He's got 17 home runs and 82 RBIs in 75 games for Colorado. And he'll be starting at first base at the Yankees Farm Club at Wilkes-Barre Scranton, a place that's really worth taking a look at and a good place to take in a baseball game, as I have over the past couple of years. I try to get up there every 3-4 years.
So am I assuming that he's never played for the Brewers? He was just playing for their farm team.
That's right. And the Yankees gave up lefty reliever Tyler Webb, who has been up and down this year, to the Brewers. Garrett Cooper played at the Colorado Springs Sky Sox in what is the hitter-friendly Pacific Coast League, but his batting average leads the league, and his RBIs are second. Plus, he's more athletic than he looks. He's a good fielding first baseman. He runs well. Although he's not just a home run guy, he can hit for average, including doubles, and he can spray the ball to all fields. So the Yankees may have found themselves a future first baseman if Greg Bird doesn't work out for them. So that's pretty exciting. And Pat, you've asked me about today's probable pitchers, and I'm not sure who they are because I haven't checked yet.
Well, let me ask you something else about the trades. Apparently, they do a lot of scouting on these minor league, at these minor league games, and on the players that are playing in the minors for different teams, as well as, of course, it's easy for them to do the scouting, with teams or players who are playing in the majors. But are these, who does the scouting? I remember there was that movie with
Susan Sarandon. And,
no, I'm thinking of
Kevin
Clint Eastwood.
Costner.
No, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of the Clint Eastwood
Clint Eastwood, where he and his daughter are both baseball scouts.
Right. Well,
that's
he was a baseball scout, and she really knew a lot about baseball, and he was they were going to fire him. He was kind of, they thought, washed up, and he really made some great predictions, and all of a sudden, I'm forgetting, was that baseball or was that football, that movie? All of a sudden, I'm having one of these moments.
Well, it was a baseball movie.
I think it was a baseball movie when I think about it.
I have seen the movie, and it was actually a pretty good movie.
I thought it was an excellent movie, actually. I really enjoyed it. Of course, I think I enjoy, most sports-related movies. Some of them are kind of dumb. But,
I've never been a Brian Song fan. I always thought that was although a lot of people like that movie, I don't like baseball movies that make me want to cry. I cry enough rooting for the Phillies. And let me tell you that the Phillies, for the first half of this year, won 29 games and have lost 58 for a .333 win percentage. They are 22.5 games out of first place and 21 games out of wild card contention.
Wow.
So, I like to say that they're a light year out of the postseason right now and sinking fast. The Phillies, for whatever reason, are having what I call a nightmare season. They've got a lot of young guys. They've got a couple of people who are probably going to be worth keeping as ball players, but the rest of them probably need to latch on somewhere else.
And they keep talking about building, but,
it's always a rebuilding year.
You're always rebuilding and rebuilding and rebuilding, and, I don't know, brick by brick, they must have some pretty slow bricklayers in Philadelphia.
Well, there's a TV show called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that if you like Philadelphia and you have a sense of humor, it's very funny. It stars Danny DeVito, who's always been one of my favorite character actors. And he runs a bar in Philadelphia with three of the most self-absorbed people as partners I've ever seen. And they managed to get in a Philadelphia sports dig about every episode. Meanwhile, do you know what week it is this week? You probably didn't get the memo. It's sports cliche week.
Oh.
And are you ready for some great cliches?
Yes,
I got these.
I'm,
and a special
really
shout out. Thank you to Chris Bianco. And since we're going to start with my favorite sport, hockey, I'm going to give you some of my favorite cliches. The first one is the Blackhawks and Bruins skate to a 2-2 tie. You ever notice how hockey teams never skate to a win or a loss? They can only skate to a tie. And then you've got another one here.
Wait a minute. They never skate to a win or a loss?
No, they skate to a tie, at least according to what I was sent.
Well, what do you mean, skate to a tie?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Obviously, they play the game on ice. They have to wear skates, and they both skated to a tie. That's a sports cliche.
So why wouldn't it be a sports cliche when they say they skate to a 1-2?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That's what the memo says.
That's kind of lame. Yeah. What else do you have that's better?
Here's another one that I can't quite get. The Blackhawks make a wholesale change. Well, that's good. At least they didn't say the Flyers don't know how to make change. So that's kind of an interesting one. Or another one
is... Well, wait. What in hockey would be a wholesale change?
Well, I think a wholesale change is where you make a line change. You know, you have your three forwards go off and the new three forwards come back on. And you also exchange your two defensemen. Your two defensemen skate over to the bench to catch their breath, and two more guys jump out on the ice.
All at the same time?
Yeah.
That's
a wholesale change. And it all happens when you fire the puck all the way down the other end while everybody breaks for the bench. And the problem with that, though, is you're taking a risk because for a few seconds you're leaving the entire half of the ice opposite your across from your bench by the penalty box, unprotected.
Well, I suppose the other way to interpret that is they got rid of the whole team one year and got a whole new team. But you know what's interesting about some of these things, cliches and other things, is how difficult it is for people who don't speak English and grow up in this country to hear some of these things because, you know, they might know what wholesale is, but we usually talk about wholesale in terms of purchasing and not paying retail, but paying wholesale. So, you know, when we think about it, and we don't, we just, you know, these are things we've grown up with and never think how difficult it is for some people to figure out what in the world would they be talking about.
Well, remember, they're speaking Canadian. They're not speaking American, first of all. Second of all, what about...
Not the Blackhawks. Not my Chicago Blackhawks.
There you go.
They play, and they... Good Midwestern accents.
There you go.
Even if they're from Canada.
Even if it's from Manitoba in the Midwest, right?
They're from Toronto... Well, not Toronto, but even if they're from Quebec.
Well, here's another one I can't quite figure out. Another sports cliche for hockey. He put the biscuit in the basket. Now... Why would you put a biscuit in a basket? Why wouldn't you take the biscuit out of the basket? I don't quite get that. That means that...
Well, why wouldn't you put the hockey puck in the net?
I
mean, why wouldn't you put the hockey puck in the net?
Yeah. Or
I've never heard that one, by the way.
Biscuit
in the basket?
And I've always thought that that was slightly vulgar for some reason. Moving along, though...
Well, Bill... you know, let's not even go there because...
I don't intend to. I'm going to sit on my lead, which is another one. Or what about, you know, the great one, when you put the puck on the net, good things are going to happen. Or they have to find a way to put the puck in the net. Well, you know how many times a game you hear that? I think I should sit around some night and watch a hockey game and just check off to see how many of these I'm going to hear.
Well, what that means is that the announcers... you know, are not very creative.
They never are. Remember, these are usually retired hockey players who've probably had one concussion too many, or as a very famous Flyers hockey coach once said, and his name was Fred Shiro, He's a cement head, but it's never stopped him from playing.
Well, now I will say, remember, my son announces the hockey games at University of Wisconsin in River Falls.
Maybe he's guilty of all these.
I will have to check, but I doubt it. And actually, you know, announcing, I think, on the radio, and he does it on the radio and I think at the game, but think of how difficult it is to announce sports on the radio. Maybe not as much for those of us who grew up with the radio and grew up being able to visualize, but the kids today, I wonder really how they can even follow sports announcing on the radio. I mean, we have a lot of talk radio. Don't get me wrong. There's a 24/7 sports talk radio. But just think of how important it is to have a visual memory in order to visualize what's happening, you know, on a baseball, hockey, football. I have to tell you that, you know, since I have watched television and football for so many years on television, as well as going to the games, I don't like to listen to football games. I find I get distracted. And you know, and I'm a very visual person, but I find that it's tiring. Believe it or not, I find it very tiring to listen to a football game or baseball, but mostly football. I find that you know, because I have to visualize so many things, and they can only talk about a certain things that are going on in the field. When if you're watching it, you know, I know people that, first of all, they don't like the television announcers, and they'll listen to radio announcers because radio announcers do have to be much more precise.
I think so, too. And remember, radio announcers have to paint the mental picture
exactly
for you. And I think that we lose something by not listening to a game on the radio now and then, where you get to use your imagination. I remember as a child, what I liked to do was I had a transistor radio, and I put my headphones on so I wouldn't wake up my little brother. And I would put the headphones on, and you could listen to some of the West Coast football or baseball games late at night, particularly if the Yankees or the Mets were out on the coast playing the Dodgers or the Giants. You would imagine being in the ballpark, and the lights would be on, and you could smell the hot dogs, and you would be sitting behind home plate and imagining the windup and the pitch.
And I think you were probably imagining the hot dogs.
Well, that's definitely true. I love hot dogs, as you probably know. By the way, I heard a sports joke. It's an old one, though. It involves Reggie Jackson. Do you remember the Reggie Jackson candy bar? Remember Reggie Jackson?
Yes, actually, I do.
Yeah, I actually had a Reggie Jackson candy bar once.
Do you still have it?
No, I don't have it anymore. And I don't think they still make them. But the joke was about, you know, Reggie Jackson's personality was he always liked to tell you what a great ball player he was. Well, the idea was if you bought a Reggie Jackson candy bar and you opened it up and took off the wrapper, it told you how good it was. So I thought that was pretty good. The important thing, though, is that we've got a second half baseball season where we're going to have some exciting pennant races. Forget about the American League West. The Houston Astros are at least 20 games up on everybody else. The Minnesota Twins are up by 6. The Dodgers are up, I think, by 4. So there's still a pennant race there, but I think the Dodgers have built such a strong team that they're just not going to get caught. So the interesting thing is going to be my favorite division, the American League East. The Yankees, the Red Sox, Tampa. Toronto's not out of it. The Orioles, although they've struggled, they're not going away anytime soon either. We've got some good baseball coming up the rest of July, August, and September, and I, for one, am excited. When you have some exciting players on the Yankees like Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks is coming back. The Yankees have suffered through their injuries and their pitching woes. The Red Sox, likewise, had a really tough run of it in June, but have come back strong. Everybody's healthy for the second half, so I think we're going to see some exciting baseball, folks. What do you think, Pat?
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but Bill, but you know that football is about to start. And,
1 week.
And, you know what, I could care less about baseball. As a kid, and I've said this before, as a kid growing up, you know, I was a real fan of Chicago Cubs. And, this, you know, I'm still moderately a fan, but, you know, it's all football for me.
Oh,
and,
I understand that.
But, and but everybody ask, is starting.
But let me ask you a question. You're a huge Green Bay Packer fan. I don't think there's a bigger, better Green Bay Packer fan, ladies and gentlemen, than Patricia Garrity Smith. But let me ask you. I've been to Green Bay. I've seen the Packers play the Bears there. Are you brave enough to see the Packers play at the Bears at Soldier Field in November, a week before Thanksgiving?
Oh, I would love to see the Packers play the Bears anytime at Soldier Field. I've not been there. I've been to a number of the stadiums around the country, but I've never been at a game in Chicago. So, you know, I don't like to go to games in December only because of the holidays, but I would sit out on January 1st, you know, if I could possibly see the Packers and Bears. And especially now, back in the day when I would have had to see someone like Dick Butkus and some of these other guys, it wasn't fun. But, I mean, it was fun for the Chicago fans, but not necessarily fun for those of us who are Packer fans. But that's always been a great rivalry. In fact, you may know that last year we went out, one of the games that we saw at Lambeau last year was the Bears and the Packers.
That's always a fun matchup.
It is. And, you know, it's like, and that was a Thursday night game. You know, so you would have thought that, I mean, again, the stadium was packed. A lot of Chicago fans, a lot of them drive up because it's really not that far. And it was, you know, I just really liked that. In fact, our tickets this year are for Tampa, January 2nd.
Boy, that's going to be cold, Pat.
And, well, it may or may not. I think we're going to try to switch the tickets because, again, there are just too many other things going on. In fact, the Holly Trail is that first Saturday in December, and this is a kind of a tradition with my granddaughter. Now, on the other hand, if I took her out to a Packer game, she'd be more pleased to go to a Packer game than even to go to the Holly Trail.
Well, the Holly Trail's nice, and for those of you who don't know, it's a Christmas tour of beautifully decorated homes here in Hunterdon County. But what would you rather do if you were Pat's granddaughter? Go look at a bunch of houses, nicely decorated, albeit, or go to the Packers-Tampa game. I'd rather go to the Packers-Tampa game, and I'll drink as much antifreeze as I can stand.
Well, I really don't want to go to that game. And, you know, so we'll try to see if we can exchange those tickets for other tickets this year. But I don't like, and I've said this before, I really don't like the Packers' schedule this year. Last year, it was terrific. I mean, having three home games.
It is an odd schedule, isn't it?
It's really an odd schedule. What about, you know, the Giants and Philadelphia? What's the Eagles' schedule like?
I haven't studied the Giants and Eagles' schedule yet because I'm still deeply immersed in baseball and my passion sailing. So, but I can tell you that I'm looking forward to an Eagles training camp and Carson Wentz having a good season. They've managed to pick up a couple of good receivers who either throw to, and they beefed up their offensive line. So Philadelphia may actually be something of a threat. Do I think they're as good as the Giants or Dallas? I hope so, but I don't think so.
I think we're going to play some commercials, but let's come back with that because I think if Dak Prescott, you know, plays as well as he did last year, I really think the Cowboys at Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, you know, I really think that they have some a potentially great team and potentially winning, you know, maybe 14 games. I haven't seen their lineup, but I don't know who they're really going to play that.
I think the Eagles are an 8-8 or 9-7 team at best.
Okay, well, let's we'll come back and talk some more about that after we take a short break.
Pat, let's hit that money button.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Well, Bill, we're back, but I have to tell you, we just played a commercial from Pambee's. If you have not tried it, you know, commercial spot, they're one of our sponsors, but I'm telling you, every time I hear their spot, my mouth waters. They have the greatest ice cream. I think they should be a little more specific as to where they're located because, yes, they are south of Clinton, but precisely they are on the south side of Route 31 between Payne Road and Molasses Hill Road. And if you don't know where Payne Road is, they're the two filling stations across from one another. And at that point, if you're heading north, you have to go up to Molasses Hill Road and take the jug handle and just go south. It's right after George's Plumbing and right after the municipal buildings there, the red municipal buildings. And, you know, anybody who likes ice cream, you know, they have the regular stuff, too, the hot fudge sundaes. And, you know, one of the problems that we have is, you know, stopping there before supper. And so, you know, I think the better way is to stop there after supper. But they're one of our sponsors, and I have to say, you know, I may not like the diet lady, but I love Pambies. So, Bill, I guess neither one of us need any ice cream today, but, you know, I hope that they really are successful, because it's nice to see, you know, small business that really is doing, you know, a great job at making a homemade product.
Oh, it's homemade ice cream.
Well, they make it. Yeah, that's wow. their ice cream. So that's they exciting. Make it there. And
I'll have to make a trip up there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's worth it.
Instead of having a sensible lunch, I'm going to have a ridiculous lunch. I'm thinking hot fudge.
Oh.
And let me ask a question. Do you have a favorite flavor?
My favorite flavor is, you know, if they're making it, but even elsewhere, is some kind of a coffee, toffee, with chocolate, you know.
I'm really big on vanilla fudge or as much chocolate as they can possibly cram into a cone. I don't know about you, but I have a terrible addiction to chocolate.
Oh, well, you know, I'm probably worse than anyone. You know, I make chocolate. Well, I haven't for the last couple of years.
You made it for Christmas, yeah.
I used to make probably 150 pounds. Again, that's one of the reasons why December.
Are you sure your name isn't Mrs. Hershey?
Well, I don't know if you know, you know, for years I worked, my office was in Morristown, and, you know, people that knew me thought that, and they didn't say I was not a good lawyer, but they really thought that I maybe had missed my calling and not opened a place like Anjou Chocolate. The problem with that is that if you're really doing and making good chocolate candy, it's so labor intensive that I couldn't imagine, you know, just doing it all the time. Frankly, I like, you know, I know candy all over. And there are a couple good chocolate places in Clinton, but I also regularly go to the farmer's market. And
so you're big on the homemade fudges and things like
well,
that.
Well, I'm not a fudge person. No, I really don't. But they have some pretty good truffles, mint truffles or just chocolate truffles. And they're really very good. And if you're truly a candy addict the way I am, they also have the best caramels, the salted caramels.
That sounds really
good.
Cool. I'm getting hungry right now.
They really do a great job with salted caramels.
Anyway, sports show. Yeah. We're going to start throwing chocolate into each other's mouths.
Well,
and
of course,
talk about sports.
If you were in Wisconsin, you'd find you know, chocolate mixed with cheese.
Oh my!
And
God.
Anything mixed with cheese.
Well, that's what happens in Wisconsin. I mean, I think the roads are paved with cheese. It just gets hard in the winter after it freezes.
Well, but one of my and I have to just you talking about. You know, we should find, and maybe Chris Bianco can find us signs related to sports. This is not a sign related to sports, but in Wisconsin, one of my favorite places is cheese and taxidermy. That is a store.
So
a cheese and taxidermy store.
That's impressive. So, yep. So let's say that a famous football player shuffles off that mortal coil. He takes him to the taxidermist, put him in his uniform, and stuffs him with cheese. That's impressive.
Wait a minute. Taxidermy is really for animals. Even in Wisconsin, they don't stuff people, except for Ed Gein. And I won't go into that story, but if you ever heard about stuffing you know, people, it was Ed Gein, famous case from Wisconsin. But anyway, let's get back to sports.
Let's talk about sports. I've got a question for you. Have you ever been even past Soldier Field in Chicago? I think it's right by the lake in a park.
Yeah, I have. I just have never been in it.
And I'm considering taking a frolic and detour out there to see the Bears host the Packers.
Really?
Well, yeah.
And when is that?
I think it's a Sunday, November 12 at 1, and I figured it out. You can fly from Trenton or Allentown to O'Hare Airport for about $100. And you go out on a Friday night, and you stay near the airport, because near the airport is the arena where the Chicago Wolves play in the American Hockey League. And so you can see the Wolves either Friday night or Saturday. The Bears have a kickoff 1 o'clock Sunday. And I figure you can take the train to the center of Chicago, and then you have to take a bus to that where the stadium is. I figure if we get there about 10:30 or so, we'll have had a nice breakfast. We'll be nice and warm. Perhaps we need a flask to help us stay warm. But this being a family show, I'm sure it'll only be water in there, or hot water or hot tea.
You know what? I bet you can't get your flask in there anymore.
I bet you can't either, because I know there are women who tell me they can't get their purses.
No, what they do, I can tell you, at Lambeau, you can buy it. It's about maybe 12 inches long. It's see-through plastic. And, in fact, a lot of the women have complained about that. But, anyway, that's what you can take in. They really have become very careful. But if you plan on doing that, you let me know. My sense is, if I was going to do something like that, I would probably want to fly out of Allentown, only because, and I've flown out of Trenton. The difficulty is, if at that time of year the plane doesn't go from Trenton, they only have one, and probably from Allentown also. But, I know I've flown down to Florida from Trenton, and other than they charge you for everything, including more for a carry-on than they do for checked luggage, not a bad flight unless there's something that goes wrong and it doesn't go, because then you're waiting until the next day, which means that you don't get there until the next day. And you'd also have to be very careful if you're going the same day as the game to get there in time. I would go the day before, because one of the things, there's a lot to do down in Chicago. I mean, I really like Chicago. I think people from the East Coast have no sense of how nice and how much there is to do in Chicago. Anyway, I'm in if you decide that.
The Chicago trifecta: fly out on a Friday afternoon, go to the A8 American Hockey League game where the Wolves play. If you get lucky, get some Blackhawk tickets, go to that game Saturday night. Sunday morning, get up, eat an obscenely big breakfast, and then go to the Bears game. And then after the Bears game, waddle back to your hotel room on the loop or whatever it is, because I figure Chicago being the windy city, I'm going to need to dress for it, and I'm going to have to be sure that I have a lot of antifreeze.
Well, you find out about tickets, and I will too, Monday because morning. I think that would be a fun trip for the sports guys.
I think that'd be a great sports guys trip, and we're supposed to be building a website for our show, and I keep thinking, we do all these great sports things. We ought to get in the business of sports travel. Travel with the sports guys. Can you think of three more interesting people?
Oh, that would be about the most boring three people.
Three having to hang around with three lawyers.
Although
people
absolutely
would take the gas pipe, Pat.
One of the people I will talk to is, and although she's not an official sponsor, she's really great at putting together trips, is Carmen Patricola, who is has a travel agency out of Pittstown, and she really puts together some great trips. And so I'll give her a call, too.
There you go. Speaking of great trips, I read something, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, there are travel agents who put together very high-end, unique, fancy trips. So if you want to go hang gliding in Argentina, in Tierra del Fuego, and you want to stay at night on an old steamship, they put that together for you. And I always thought it would be really cool to put together a bunch of sports guys' trips. Now, I know we've gone to hockey games. I know we've gone to a couple of football games and things like that. But I can tell you, Temple University has a good, inexpensive, and interesting schedule this year. And we just, you know, although they are playing Notre Dame to open their football season, I think right at the end of August, or maybe it's just the Labor Day weekend. I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but, you know, they have some interesting competition. They're going to play schools like Akron, and they're going to, I think, play Maryland and Delaware. So it could be a lot of fun. Remember, we used to play in the Big East until Rutgers got us kicked out. But, you know, Pat, we Temple grads have been kicked out of far better places than the Big East.
Well, you know, how they ever allowed Rutgers to come into the Big Ten, I have to tell you, as much as I love to watch Wisconsin football, and if anyone ever has an opportunity to watch a game at in Madison, it really is a great opportunity. It's a great stadium. It's a great venue. You know, it's not that far from, it's part of the campus. Campus is pretty sprawling, but it's just a you know, really fun. You get to drink a lot of beer, go eat brats, brats and steak sandwiches on State Street. And in any event, that's really fun. But as much as I love to watch Wisconsin Badgers play football, I'm not even sure if they play Rutgers, I'd go to see the game. Well, I mean, it just Rutgers does not belong. And I don't think Maryland nor Rutgers.
In the Big Ten either. I think Rutgers.
Nebraska really was not so bad.
I think Rutgers should be really playing the East Coast Conference powerhouse schools. I could see them playing a Duke or a Wake Forest or a Villanova or a Connecticut or you know, a BC or a BU. But I just don't understand it. Are they that driven by TV money? I mean, you know, they were, what, 1-10 this year?
Well, because they're way out of their league.
Yeah.
And you know, when you think about, I can't even imagine it would be exciting. I mean, the other place that I'd like to see, well, see if you can guess, where else do you think that I would really like to see a Big Ten game?
You know where I'd like to see a Big Ten game? I'd like to go to Ohio State and see a game.
No, at the Big House when Ohio State plays Michigan. But in Michigan at the Big House.
Oh,
that's
really?
Where you want to see that
they
game.
They seat 110,000 people.
Yeah, but
don't
and
they?
that is the rivalry, and it's I think it's usually the last game of their season. That they usually play Ohio State and Michigan, and they play when they play in the Big House, and that's exactly where that would be on my bucket list.
Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I haven't been in that stadium.
I haven't either.
I'm not a Michigan fan, but they call themselves the Wolverines, don't they?
Yes.
And I have to tell you, as a child, I had a fascination with the drawing those helmets.
Well, the Wolverines. I mean. The Wolverine is a very ferocious animal.
Oh, I've seen them.
And so, you know, that was a perfect, perfect. And, of course, you know, people say, well, why are the Wisconsin Badgers Badgers? Well, if you know the history of Wisconsin, the French fur trappers, and we're a sports program, but the French fur trappers were the ones who, you know, if you go to Wisconsin, there's so many names that are really the French names.
That's right.
And I don't know, we're really getting off, but did I ever tell you about my husband Dave's experience in Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Nope.
Well, you know, talk about names. Dave was walking in the square. If any of you know, in Santa Fe, there's a big square, and in front of the governor's palace, there usually are various Native Americans selling, you know, jewelry, pottery, whatever.
Tchotchkes.
So, and actually they're nicer than tchotchkes. But Dave was walking by, and he saw this Indian man sitting there selling things, and he had a Packers hat on. Now, if you think I'm crazy, and I know everybody does, But my husband is probably as big a sports fan and Packer fan as I am. Well, Dave would usually not ever stop to talk to anyone, but he will stop to talk to anybody who has a Packer hat, a shirt with Packers on, anything at all. And so anyway, he was walking by, and I was at a conference, I think, and people came back and said, oh, they saw Dave, my husband, talking to this Indian man deep in conversation down there. Well, those of you who don't know, and probably many of you don't, my husband is also a historian, and his specialty was Native Americans. So people who were at this conference with me thought he was talking, and they were engaged in some really interesting conversation about, Native Americans, whatever. So when he came back, I said, oh, I heard from somebody that saw you that you were talking to this Indian man on the square. And I said, must have been an interesting conversation. He said, it was unbelievable. He said, I saw him and I asked him because he had the Packer cap on, and was he really a Packer fan? And he said, yes. And so Dave said, well, how in the world did you become a Packer fan in New Mexico? And a guy said, well, my clan is the clan of the Badgers. And so when I was a kid, I found this team, the Badgers. And so I started following this football team because that was my clan name, and they were from Wisconsin. And then I found out that this other team from Wisconsin was called the Packers. And so not only did I follow the Badgers, but I followed the Packers. And so I thought, to me, I've heard a lot of stories about how people became Packer fans, but that's still my all-time favorite. So sorry for going on and on.
That's a wonderful story. I think I've become a Packer fan almost because I hang around with you, Pat, so I have to watch them, so I have something to talk with you about. But, you know, the Green Bay Packers have a tremendous history, just like the Philadelphia Eagles did, or the Giants did, or the Bears. The Bears, certainly. George Halas saved the NFL.
He saved the Packers.
And saved the Packers. He lent them money, or gave them money and gave them players, because a lot of these teams were going to fail. And it wasn't until we got the big glass eye of TV that the NFL began to be a very profitable league. And now it's a $12 billion a year industry.
Well, it might not have been as back when Halas, he did save the Packers, but you know, going in the 60s, even before television, maybe the late 50s, I guess, I wasn't really, there were avid fans. And now it is true that back then the Packers both had, they played in Milwaukee and in Green Bay, so that they, you know, could. Southern Wisconsin, I mean, it's a schlep to go up to Green Bay. But and of course, I think a lot of people became Packer fans because the team is owned by the city. It will never be sold. And in fact, and I thought this was kind of a scam, but a few years ago they sold shares. In fact, they've done it twice. To raise money, they sold shares to the Packers. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, thought that was great, and they brought a share or two just to say that they were owners of the Packers.
The Packers didn't get them so much as a free hot dog.
Didn't, even nothing at all. But
yeah, you only got to have the warm pride of ownership, which really helps on a zero-degree day when they're playing Tampa in January, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, that's just not for me. I've seen Green Bay. Actually, I've been to a Tampa-Green Bay game in Tampa. But I don't know. I'd rather see another game. Actually, maybe I'll see if there's a way to switch my tickets for that game in Chicago, although I'm not sure that now I don't think I can do that. But no. Maybe I can sell my tickets and buy tickets to go to Chicago. Well, listen, before
it's 5:54, we've still got a few minutes to go.
Yeah,
Pat,
but we also have a few sponsors. We will do that, and we'll be back to say goodbye. And John, if you're listening, we're hoping. Well,
you don't get a rain out in Boston.
Yeah, and Bill obviously isn't going to be rooting for your team, but you know, being from the Midwest, I would rather have anybody other than the Yankees win. Uh-huh. So, in fact, when we came east, I'm still a Cubs fan, but my husband Dave became a Mets fan only because he couldn't bear becoming a Yankee fan. So we'll be back.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, Bill, any last thoughts before we say goodbye to John and hope you're having a great game and, we'll hope to see you next week.
I think that would be just great. You know, every time you ask me about Bill, any last words, I feel like I'm about to get shot. probably for being an Eagles fan in the same room with a Packers fan. But you've always been very good about pitying me. Not that I'd need it, but...
hey, listen,
not easy being a Philadelphia sports fan.
But. Yeah, but there were a lot of years when I... Remember, when I was a kid, I learned that you stay and you're loyal even when your team is rotten. And there were many, many years that the team was rotten. But unfortunately, they ebb and flow. And I think with the way that the NFL is the fact that they have the caps, gives everybody a much better chance. There are some coaches who are just better and they gel with teams.
That's right.
And, of course, I always liked Andy Reid. I didn't think Eagles' problems should be, foisted on Andy. But
the Eagles had a many, many other problems, including their ownership. I don't think Jeff Lurie's all that good an owner. Harry Rosen.